Today, we are very fortunate. Today's class is given by His Grace Ramagiri Dari Prabhu. Prabhu, are you there?
Yes, Mataji, I'm there.
I'll hand over this call to you, Prabhu. Please take this call.
Okay, thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 6, text number 50. And we are going to discuss 50, 51, 52 and 53. With that, this entire 6th chapter of 4th Canto will get completed. So I will read all the 4 verses and the 53 verses as a purport. And once we finish reading, we'll discuss the all the 4 verses together. So, verse number 15.
Kuruvadvarsayodharanam hatasyabho Tvayasamapattasya mano prajapate Nayatrabhagam tavabhagino dadhu Kuyagnyo yena makho niniyate.
My dear Lord Shiva, you are a shareholder of a portion of the sacrifice and you are the giver of the result. The bad priests did not deliver your share and therefore you destroyed everything and the sacrifice remains unfinished. Now you can do the needful and take your rightful share. Text 51.
Jiva tad yajamano yam prapadyetakshini bhaga Bhrgo smashuni rohantu pushno dantascha puravat purvavat.
My dear Lord, by your mercy, the performer of the sacrifice, King Daksha, may get back his life, Bhaga may get back his eyes, Bhrgu his mustache, and Pusha his teeth.
Text 62. Devanam bhagna gatranam ritvijam cha yudash mabhi Bhavat anugrihitanam ashu manyostva ananturam.
O Lord Shiva, may the demigods and the priests whose limbs have been broken by your soldiers recover from the injuries by your grace. Text 53.
Eshate rudra bhagostu yaduchishto dvarasya vai yajnaste rudra bhagena kalpatam adya yajnahan.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Samishla Prabhupada. O destroyer, translation. O destroyer of the sacrifice, please take your portion of the sacrifice and let the sacrifice be completed by your grace. Purport. A sacrifice is a ceremony performed to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, it is stated that everyone should try to understand whether the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied by His activity. In other words, the aim of our activities should be to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as in an office, it is the duty of the worker to see that the proprietor or the master is satisfied. So everyone's duty is to see whether the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied by one's activity. Activities to satisfy the Supreme Godhead are prescribed in the Vedic literature. And execution of such activities is called yajna. In other words, acting on behalf of the Supreme Lord is called yajna. One should know very well that any activity beside yajna is the cause of material bondage. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Yajnartat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. Karma bandhana means that if we do not work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, then the reaction of our work will bind us. One should not work for his own sense gratification. Everyone should work for the satisfaction of God. Yajna. After the yajna was performed by Daksha, all demigods expected prasad, the remnants of the foodstuffs offered to Vishnu. Lord Shiva is one of the demigods, so naturally he also expected his share of the prasad from the yajna. But Daksha of Lord Shiva neither invited Lord Shiva to participate in the yajna, nor gave him his share after the offering. But after the destruction of yajna arena by the followers of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma pacified him and assured him that he would get his share of prasad. Thus, he was requested to rectify whatever destruction was caused by the followers. In Bhagavad Gita 3.11, it is said that all the demigods are satisfied when one performs yajna. Because the demigods expect prasada from yajnas, yajna must be performed. Those who engage in sense-gratificatory materialistic activities must perform yajna, otherwise they will be implicated. Thus, Daksha, being the father of mankind, was performing yajna, and Lord Shiva expected his share. But since Shiva was not invited, there was trouble. By the mediation of Lord Brahma, however, everything was settled satisfactorily. The performance of yajna is a very difficult task because all the demigods must be invited to participate in the yajna. In this Kali Yuga, it is not possible to perform such costly sacrifices, nor is it possible to invite the demigods to participate. Therefore, in this age, it is recommended Yajnai Sankirtanai Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasaha. Those who are intelligent should know that in Kali Yuga there is no possibility of performing the Vedic sacrifices. Unless one pleases the demigods, there will be no regulated seasonal activities or rainfall. Everything is controlled by the demigods. Under the circumstances, in this age, in order to keep the balance of social peace and prosperity, all intelligent men should execute the performance of Sankirtana Yajna by chanting the holy names Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One should invite people, chant Hare Krishna, and then distribute prasad. This yajna will satisfy all the demigods, and thus there will be peace and prosperity in the world. Another difficulty in performing the Vedic rituals is that if one fails to satisfy even one demigod out of the many hundreds of thousands of demigods, just as Daksha failed to satisfy Lord Shiva, there will be disaster. But in this age, the performance of sacrifice has been simplified. One can chant Hare Krishna, and by pleasing Krishna, one can satisfy all demigods automatically. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 4th canto, 6th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Brahma Satisfies Lord Shiva. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 6, text number 50, all the way till 53. So this is the chapter and the title, Brahma Satisfies Lord Shiva. And the context that we are in is after the destruction in the fire sacrifice of Daksha, after Daksha's head was chopped off, after all the other assembled members, they were all defeated or insulted or hurt by the soldiers of Lord Shiva. Now the situation is Lord Brahma is mediating to restore back the situation to be normal. So the last four verses are spoken by Lord Brahma towards Lord Shiva. All the assembled men, Brahmanas, they came along with Lord Brahma to Kailash, and in Kailash they met Lord Shiva, who was in his own transcendental meditation, and they are persuading Lord Shiva to forgive the mistakes committed by Daksha and in turn bring the situation to normalcy. So this is very interesting as well as very enlivening to see. Srimad Bhagavatam is a subject matter for us to transform our lives, and Srila Prabhupada has given wonderful nectar in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam so that we practitioners can take advantage of Bhaktivedanta purports to fix our life in the right track. So through this 4 or 5 verses, we will churn them more and drink some nectar today and learn some set of lessons for our spiritual advancement. In any Vaishnava relationship, it is extremely important that we always take shelter of a neutral, self-realized person. So, in this entire episode of Daksha Prajapati, as I spoke in one of the very earlier classes, that this chapter number 1 through 8, this entire Daksha's episode reveals various important aspects of devotional life. And in this 5 shlokas that we just read today, it reveals some intricate information which are needed to be abided in our own personal and spiritual lives. So, in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we are encouraged to associate with devotees. Srila Prabhupada said that ISKCON is like a hospital, and the process of treatment is bona fide. The medicines are bona fide. But we need to remember that whoever consumes the medicines, and if it comes from a bona fide doctor, they will get cured. But if somebody does not take the doctor's advice seriously, or if somebody poses themselves as a doctor but is not bona fide and they take that medicine seriously, or if for some reason when the medicine is working upon us, we amateurishly conclude that it is not working upon us, all the three are unfortunate. I'll repeat, ISKCON is an hospital, and Srila Prabhupada said that in this hospital, the process of medication is bona fide. But it is not conclusively said that everybody visits the hospital gets cured, in a sense that their non-curing could be any one of these three categories. Number one, the doctor is bona fide, the medicine is bona fide, but I did not take the doctor's advice seriously and I'm not cured. Number two, the doctor is not bona fide. He looks like a doctor, but he is actually not a doctor. And we unfortunately fall prey to such bogus people and take their advice very seriously, and our medicine is not cured. And number three, if the doctor is bona fide, medicine is bona fide, and we are also consuming, and the medicine is acting on us. As a part of the medicine's acting on us, there are some transformation and there are some stages that Krishna, the process takes us through, and we amateurishly conclude that it is not acting on us and quit them in the middle. So in our spiritual life, we see us in any one of these three situations at some point in time. And whenever we harp on Vaishnava relationships, whenever we speak on Sadhu Sangha, whenever we speak on taking guided advice and introspect, we always tell them from a perspective that we should not fall prey to any one of these three situations. The first situation where
we take the medicines not so seriously. That is because of our laziness, because of our ego and pride and prejudiced nature. So one set of problems which drags us away from Krishna consciousness is our laziness to act, or our overconfidence to act, or our prejudiced nature to act, or our familiarity to act, or our ego to act, or our pride. So these are all some similar set of related anarthas, because of which our Krishna consciousness is delayed. And as sadhakas, we fall prey to any one of them quite obviously. Either we are lazy, or we are prejudiced, or we have familiarity towards our Vaishnava relationship, or we are proud, or we are egoistic. We must have gone to the right devotee, we must be in the right sangha, we must be given right set of advices, but because of these sets of vices, our Krishna consciousness might be slow. The second situation is that because we are very sentimental, because we think that Krishna consciousness is like a, you know, like a sentimental process, just that by me following things externally, things will happen and no extra endeavor need to be put in. Are we being self-centered and having vested agenda or temporary results? So we fall prey to bogus people who, because of their own vested interest, they try to exploit us and we fall prey to them. And the second category of people is because of, again, we not reading Srila Prabhupada books, we not taking advantage of the classes that we hear and assimilate and apply them. We are very sentimental in our Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada says, philosophy without religion is sentiment. I'm sorry, religion without philosophy is sentiment, and philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So most of the time we sometimes take spirituality as a very sentimental and put them into the religious basket and say that I go to temple, I do some philanthropic activity kind, I try to do some charitable work and I expect some results, and hence I fall prey to some bogus people. So this is the category of devotees who have not taken Krishna consciousness seriously, and who have just taken Krishna consciousness till the point in time their material problems are resolved. So we go to Krishna, we go to program, we go to activities only till the point in time our materialistic problems and external problems are sorted out. If our family members are not getting married, if we are not getting job, if we are not getting, our diseases are not getting cured, so we'll go to temple, we'll keep vrata, we will do all services. But the moment we get this sorted out, we don't go to the temple. So the second category where we fall prey to bogus and get trapped into the system is because of such a mindset. The third category of people where we are sincere, we are serious, we accepted the process, but then, because of our extended association with worldly-minded people, our faith is basically shaken. Because association with worldly-minded people, association with materialists, actually shakes us the foundational understanding of Krishna consciousness. And the second reason why we prejudicially conclude that Krishna consciousness is not working upon us is because we are not serious in our sadhana or our spiritual practices, whether it in terms of eating food, whether in terms of associating with people, whether in terms of our chanting quality, whether in terms of our service opportunities that are given to us. The reason these three categories are discussed is all these three categories are pretty much that we have experienced either in our own lives or in the lives of our fellow devotees in our community. And Srimad Bhagavatam is helping us to get rid of all these three types of situations. So the current context in which Brahma is trying to act as a mediator is to help these three categories of people. In this situation, because of the pride, because of the ego, because of the prejudice, because of the situation of familiarity, Daksha did not take seriousness in the process of this yajna as well as the process of relationship, because of which Daksha is in trouble. And in this scenario, we are also seeing members of Daksha's assembly who are also punished. The reason they are punished is because they sentimentally were attached and they had their vested agenda and they were following Daksha just because they did not use their brain that Daksha was a diplomat and Daksha was trying to do, so they were also punished. The third category is those Brahmanas who were involved in the fire sacrifice and they did not object the mistakes done by Daksha and they were party to this, and in the process of that they were little bit overconfident that they were not mistaken, it is just the fire, they are just doing the duty, niyama graha. So they also got into this trouble. And all these three categories are now going to be at one shot delivered by two or three people. Number one, Brahma, who is acting as a mediator. Number two, Lord Shiva, who is actually the person who is supposed to be pleased. And number three, Lord Vishnu, who is going to appear very soon in the scene and trying to give a further higher principle. In the very next chapter, we are going to discuss that part as well. So, it's very interesting to see how through one episode of Daksha Prajapati, these three categories of people are punished, and just by one simple act of broad-minded inclusiveness of a Vaishnava, all these three people are delivered. So our first reflection is, in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we need to remember the process is perfect. We need to remember, because of the process being perfect, it's not concluding there. We need to make sure that we take shelter of a person who is embracing the process, and still it is not complete till the point in time we take the advice of the person very seriously, so that we take the full effect of the process working upon us. So with that context, the point that I want to drive is, we need to take shelter of a bona fide representative of our spiritual master, or bona fide representative of Krishna, who is our spiritual master, and with their help, these three mindsets could be immediately clarified. Sometimes these three mindsets are within one person. Sometimes these three mindsets are into different people in a community. Hence, this first realization is about the leaders who are driving a community. It is also about the members in the community who are responsible enough for their action as well as their members. So as a leader, it is imperative they need to take the role of Brahma that Brahma was doing here. Brahma knew Daksha's mistake. If you remember the previous chapter, Brahma very categorically explained that the reason why me and Vishnu did not participate in the fire sacrifice was that we knew Daksha was wrong. So Brahma was very, very clear that what's going on is going to create a big mess. At the same time, he was very, very concerned about what was going on. So a leader's responsibility lies in making sure that he does not party to those things that are not going correct and be biased. At the same time, when a debacle happens or when somebody, some of his members, some of the community members participate in such an act, he is ready to go and help. And with respect to the Praja, he need to understand that he should neither get into the zone of complacency, laziness, pride, ego, prejudice, familiarity, the first category, or he should not take Krishna consciousness as a sentimental agenda, or he should take the spiritual practices lightly to an extent that he pre-concludes or he prejudicially concludes that his Krishna consciousness is not moving anywhere. So he need to be very conscious about his spiritual progress and take help of the leader to help him come out of the situation. Here leader refers to the spiritual master or representatives of the spiritual master who acts on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in a Vaishnava community where we are all associated with, we need to be very careful about these three types of people. Because if we don't help them, if we are the leader, and if we don't take help from such a person, then in spite of coming in contact with such a wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, we will be the most unfortunate person. Here Srila Prabhupada writes that Brahma pacified Lord Shiva and tried to mediate the entire situation. And in the entire episode, the way Brahma dealt was so nice. This entire chapter, the way the Brahma handled the situation is very, very nice. This is not the first time Brahma is doing this. Even in the case of churning the milk ocean pastime, when Indra and all the demigods they were in trouble, Brahma did the same thing. When Prithu Maharaj's fire sacrifice was in trouble, Brahma did the same thing. So in Bhagavatam, we will see how multiple times this has been demonstrated, the responsibility of a self-realized Brahmana, responsibility of a balanced and matured leader, and responsibility of a spiritual master towards his dependents. And how a genuine dependent, even though he or she made a mistake, he takes the advice of Brahma very nicely to get rid of the situation. In this case also, all the Brahmanas who were assembled joined Brahma and came to pacify Lord Shiva to get rid of the complete mess there. So in our devotional life, we need to make sure that we don't fall prey to any one of those three categories. At the same time, if by mistake we come into any one of those categories, we need to take shelter of a self-realized soul to help us get rid of the situation. And by Guru's and Gauranga's mercy, if somebody is empowered to be a leader, he should not party to something that is adharmic. And at the same time, just because he is not partying with adharmic, he cannot take advice or cannot take biased stand and, you know, support a individualistic view. Rather, he should be forgiving and help people get out of the situation. This is our first and foremost realization as a part of this current context. So, Lord Brahma is doing the job very nicely by first taking the people to Kailash to show everybody what Kailash is all about. He showed the opulence of Kailash. He showed the entire, you know, scene of how the Kailash is and where does Lord Shiva reside. And Lord Shiva, when he was in meditation, Kuvera was next to him, Kumaras were next to him, Narada Muni was there. So this entire scene also makes it much more authentic to say Lord Shiva was nowhere close to humiliation the way Daksha did. So before even, you know, making everybody surrender and ask for forgiveness to Lord Shiva, Brahma is making them realize how great Lord Shiva is. So in the act of mediation, one very important principle of act of mediation is the person need to know how to glorify the other person, and this has to be done in a genuine manner, not by external lip service. Most of the time in mediation and counseling, people do make statements which is just situational and pacifying at that point in time, but they would not otherwise mean it. But counseling means to transform somebody's consciousness. When everybody went to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's conversation transformed people's consciousness. Srila Prabhupada's behavior transformed people's consciousness. Srila Prabhupada's advice transformed everybody's consciousness. So counseling, mediation is nothing but a transformation of consciousness. It is not about judiciary, it is not about legality, it is not about how efficient, how sugar-coated we speak. So to all those leaders, to all those members who are involved in the service of mediation, counseling, please understand this counseling and mediation is something very, very important in a Vaishnava community, because ISKCON is an hospital. And where Srila Prabhupada has already warned, Maya is already there within this moment if we are not serious about our practices. So hence, it is extremely important for each and every one of us to be a very good praja, as well as take responsibility to help many more prajas who are coming to this moment. I'll tell a very interesting story of how Srila Prabhupada transformed somebody's consciousness. I've shared this before, but in this context, it is much more meaningful. Srila Prabhupada went to Durban, and in this Durban ISKCON temple, when Srila Prabhupada was there, this is the first time and only time he had been to this temple. The neighbor of Durban temple, the landlord lady, had a constant problem with Srila Prabhupada, with the ISKCON devotees. So when the devotees knew that Prabhupada is going to come, then they were a bit concerned whether to go and tell the lady not to create any scene when Srila Prabhupada was there. But they were more confused, but the moment they go and tell her, she'll create more scene. And so they were, kind of a dilemma. And they also thought that they should go and tell Srila Prabhupada about it, but then this is the first time Srila Prabhupada is coming. So they were a bit concerned, felt that they did not want to go and tell Prabhupada when he finds the first time that, you know, some problems. So, thinking like this, they neither went to the landlord lady nor went to Prabhupada and told this. And Srila Prabhupada arrived, and the 3 days Srila Prabhupada stayed. After the morning Mangalarti, when Srila Prabhupada stepped out for his morning walk, Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON temple and the landlord lady, they were sharing the same compound. So Srila Prabhupada stood by the, compound wall, and he saw the landlord lady in her own garden. Srila Prabhupada greeted very nicely, gave some few, spoke words of appreciation of how she is maintaining the garden, how she is maintaining the health, and, things like that. He didn't even talk about Krishna or anything of that sort. So the next 3 days, when Srila Prabhupada was doing that, and fourth day Srila Prabhupada left, and he neither preached to her, nor spoke to her about Krishna, nor asked her anything. He just appreciated and spoke some good words. The fourth day, the lady came to ISKCON temple and said, you guys had a temple, you have an old man. Where is he and who is he? So the devotees are a bit concerned that this lady is going to pick up some fight again. So they all said, he's our founder Acharya and he has left for the next, you know, program. That lady said, he's the only good guy in your entire movement. So Srila Prabhupada established more than once by his own personal conduct, by his own personal, you know, disposition, by his own personal association and relationship with people, that he transformed the people's lives. So Lord Brahma is doing exactly the same thing. He is, by his own conduct, by his own relationships, and by his own act, he is trying to help people transform their heart. And just by Brahma's act, we, thousands of years later, are having an opportunity to have a change of heart. So my first realization in this portion of Srimad Bhagavatam is that we as practitioners have a responsibility, and we, when we are empowered to be a leaders, have a higher responsibility of helping our practitioners in a neutral way and to develop, help them develop love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And being ready to ask for forgiveness, be ready to take responsibility, as well as help others to know how to ask for forgiveness and take responsibility. This is our first realization. The second realization is, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that everything that is not done to please the Supreme Lord is karma bandhana. So, as I always refer, Krishna consciousness is not part of our life. Our Krishna consciousness should not be part of our life. Krishna consciousness should be our way of life. The difference is, if Krishna consciousness is just part of our life, then karma bandhanaha. So we will be, our reactions of work will bind us. But if Krishna consciousness is a way of life, then Krishna consciousness will deliver us. What is this way of life meaning? Way of life means that everything that we do, from thinking to talking to walking to cooking to working to begetting child, everything that we do, we should see how this activity can please Krishna. I'll tell a very interesting story. Once a Brahmana went to a cobbler. So this Brahmana went to a cobbler to fix his shoes. So this cobbler, he was singing a very interesting song and he was in a very, very happy mood. And when the Brahmana came to repair, the cobbler picked up the Brahmana's shoes and he was doing his repair. He was using a chisel instead of a hammer or, you know, any other tool. He had a small chisel to cut the corners, and a stone to, you know, beat the chisel on. And when the Brahmana very carefully noticed that object that he was using to beat the chisel was actually a shaligram shila. So the Brahmana was shocked. Said, "Oh my God, you are using a shaligram shila for this, you know, job." So he asked, "Oh, gentlemen, do you realize what are you doing? You are using a shaligram shila. Who gave you this?" He said that, "You know, Nainai Sahab, I was, you know, going around and finding out, I am a very poor cobbler. I didn't have any, you know, necessary tools. So somebody gave me this for 20 rupees. And very convenient for me to do this. I am using it for my work. The Brahmana said, I'll give you 50 rupees. Will you give this to me? He said that, you know, why not? You know, I will find out another one. If I give you money, I'll give it. So the Brahmana took that Shaligram Shila, took it to home, and all the puja and procedures and all the, you know, necessary practices to worship Shaligram Shila. After 3-4 days, when the Brahmana was sleeping, he had a dream, and the Lord spoke to him. In your house, I was very happy with that cobbler. He was nicely, you know, satisfying me with his songs. The song he used to sing used to be so nice, and he's so innocent, and his heart is clean without any duplicity or diplomacy. And when he sings, it pleases me a lot. And even though you are giving me so much of boa and chanting lots of Vedic mantras and giving me flowers and agarbatis and all the chodashobacha, I'm still not, satisfied. It's like torture to me. Take me back to the cobbler. So the Brahmin got back from his dream, completely confused. So he went to the cobbler and said, "My dear sir, I made a mistake. So please accept this. This is Supreme Lord. He's happy with you. He's happy with your singing. And you know, what are you singing?" So he then loudly narrated what he was, you know, praying at that time. And he was singing the Aras Stotra. And the Shaligram actually was of Jagannath. So in Jagannath Puri, till today, every day morning, they will sing this Dashavatara Stotra as a part of the Mangalarati. This is composed by Jayadeva Goswami. So the Brahmana narrated, "Jagannath is very happy with you. So please, you know, go on doing your worship nicely. He's pleased with you. He wants to be with you because of your kind heart." That's when the Brahmana realized that more than my procedures, more than my rules and regulations, my consciousness was filled with pride and filled with, a thought that I am a Brahmana and I need to become humble and I need to make sure that the activity of devotional service should be done with devotion rather than with, pride. In the context where Vrindavan Brahmanas were approached by Gopas, they rejected. But when they went to the Gopis, they immediately cooked and gave one wonderful feast to Krishna. So, Lord, we need to make sure that we keep our consciousness clean rather than keeping external things. You know, second realization, I just want to share that karma bandhana or the activity, one should not work for his own sense gratification. Everyone should work for the satisfaction of the Lord. So what the cobbler was doing was an yajna. What the yajna was done by the, you know, Brahmana was actually a sense gratification. So in our own devotional life, we need to remember that Krishna consciousness is not about what we do. Krishna consciousness is about how we do. You may do anything, but if our consciousness is not to please the Supreme Lord, then that in Anushtitaha Pumsa Visvakshena Kata Suyaha Natat Padayati Ratim Shramayeva Hi Kevalam. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Dharma means Visvakshena Kata Suyaha, to please the Supreme Personality of God at Visvakshena. There were three men. One person was going on his road, walking on the road. He saw two men on the side of the road. One person was digging a hole on the side of the road. Another person was closing it. Then they made another hole next to it, and another person was closing it. It was a scorching hot sun, on digging the hole, and another person kept on closing it. Another, he closed it. So this guy who was walking along, he was quite curious to know why these guys are doing like this. So he went to them and asked, "My dear gentlemen, in this hot sun, why are you digging this?" So those two guys said, "Sir, actually, we are three people appointed by the government to and out of the three guys, one of the person is on a holiday vacation today. So one of us need to dig the hole, one person has to put the sapling, one person has to close it. But the person who is supposed to put the sapling on a vacation, we thought that why we should stop our job, we'll keep doing our job." And this is called Shramayevati Kevalam. So Krishna Prabhupada writes here that Yajnartat Karmano Anyatra Lokoyam Karma Bandana. If we do not do an activity to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that activity is Shramayevahi Kevalam, simply waste of time. You may be in Brahmana, you may be a Pujari, you may be, you know, giving Bhagavatam class, you may be doing whatever that is. But if our consciousness is about sense gratification, the consciousness is about you, then karma bandhana. So hence, in our own act of life, we need to make sure Krishna consciousness should be our way of life. Otherwise, a single act against Krishna consciousness can bind us. In Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, I think 61st verse, right? Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport. Actually, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna on this particular point. That he says, if it is not properly pure, then you may still not be able to transverse in the spiritual life. And the example is given of how a marriage party wanted to cross over a river, and they sat on the boat, and the whole night the boatman was rowing the boat. And the next day morning, they thought that they will be in the other side of the river, but then they did not reach. And the reason is that the boat was anchored. So one who is not able to control the senses, and if any one of the senses is also not controlled, then it is very difficult. So Bhagavad Gita 2.60, Krishna says that the senses are so strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they forcibly carry away the mind even of a man of discrimination who is endeavoring to control them. And he further says that one who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady intelligence. As a strong wind sweeps away a boat on the water, one of the roaming senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's senses. So, even if you have done everything nicely, if one or two activity is not done correctly, it is extremely sensitive that our Krishna consciousness will be challenged. So our second realization hence is to somehow or other make Krishna consciousness as a way of life rather than Krishna consciousness as a part of this is about the last paragraph that Srila Prabhupada is talking about, the Yajna to be performed in this Kali Yuga. I have a sloka from Mukunda Mala Sotra. This is verse number 31 in Mukunda Sotra. In that, King Kulashekara is singing, Chatru Chedaika Mantram Sakalam Upanishad Vakya Sampujya Mantram Samsaro Cheda Mantram Samuchita Tamasaha Sangha Nidhyana Mantram Sarvaishwaryaika mantram, Vyasana Bhujaga Sandashta Santrana mantram, Jihve Krishna mantram, Japa Satatam Salya mantram. O tongue, please constantly chant the mantra composed of Sri Krishna's names. This is the only mantra for destroying all enemies. Shatru Chedaika mantram.
All enemies. Here all enemies refers to lust, greed, anger, envy, ego, pride, illusion. Sakalam Upanishad Vakya Sampujya Mantram. This is a mantra worshipped by every word of the Upanishad. Samsaro Cheda Mantram. This is a mantra that uproots the samsara. Samuchita Tamasaha Sangha Niryana Mantram. This is a mantra that drives away all the darkness of ignorance. Sarva Aishwaryaika Mantram. This is a mantra for attaining infinite opulences. And this is a mantra for curing those bitten by a poisonous snake of worldly distress. Hence, oh my dear tongue, jihve, please, japa japa satatam, constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So what shall a Prabhupada in this purport of in this Kali Yuga, we do not have proper Brahmanas to chant the Vedic mantras. We do not have the proper procedure to perform the fire sacrifice. We do not have the proper ingredients to, you know, perform the fire sacrifice. And we do not know, even after having all of them, if we will be able to satisfy all the demigods properly. So hence, knowing our pitfall, knowing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind to have bestowed his special mercy, Yajnair Sankirtanair Prayain Yajantihi Sumedasaha. In Kali Santarana Upanishad or in another place, Brahma is making this statement. The statement that he is making is, Alokya Sarva Sastrani Vicharyasa Punah Punaha. So Brahma says, I, using my forehead, Alokya Sarva Sastrani, I have analyzed, searched, Sarva Sastrani, all the Vedic literatures. How many times? Punah Punaha. Alokya Sarva Sastrani Vicharyasa Punah Punaha. Vichar. I just searched and analyzed again and again all the Vedic literature, and I always come to only one conclusion. Idam ekam sunispannam eyo Narayana sadaha. I come to only one conclusion, that Narayana is our shelter. So our understanding is, sometimes we as practicing devotees may be lethargic. Sometimes we practicing devotees may become sentimental. Sometimes we may practicing devotees may not practice Krishna consciousness seriously and try to, you know, take life. But at the end, the conclusion we will always come to by the mercy of the Lord is Narayana is ultimate. The intelligent person is the one who does not go through all those challenges and finally, you know, surrender to Narayana. Rather, he will surrender to Narayana in the first place so that he is always in the safe hands. So we need to understand that as practicing devotees, we have been told about this time and again, but we are breaking this time and again also. We have been told about this by everybody, but somehow or other we are wobbling on this time and again. Even though we understand this chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only solution for us in this Kali Yuga, but that's the only thing that we take very, very lightly. So hence our third realization is a very obvious one, where we need to take advantage of our Krishna consciousness movement by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We have been bestowed with a very powerful process, and apparently it is easier also. This process, even if we are not qualified, we are enabled to do this. For all other processes of fire sacrifice, you need to acquire some minimum qualification. Here there is no qualification required. And as I said in one of the earlier classes, our biggest qualification for receiving Mahaprabhu's mercy is we are disqualified. We are disqualified enough that nobody else can save us but for the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hence, let us latch on to this holy name. Let us latch on to this process. And in this way, we will be also able to deliver ourselves from the cycle of birth and death. So hence the third realization is about how we are taking advantage of this chanting process. And if we don't take advantage of this chanting process, in spite of us doing all the external things in our devotional life,
we will not be able to make a progress because chanting cleanses the heart. I'll end this with a small prayer from Kevalashtakam. This says, Aho dukkam maha dukkam dukkha dukkataram yataha kachartam vismritam ratna hare namaiva kevalam. Aho dukkam maha dukkam. Such a sad thing to say. What is that? Kachartam vismritam ratna. Because of we embracing to materialistic life, we misunderstand glass as diamond and diamond as glass. Hence, Hare Namaiva Kevalam. Hence, let us take shelter of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So with this, I end my discussions, sharing of my realizations. Before we conclude, I just want to summarize the points that we discussed. Srimad Bhagavatam is like a ocean of nectar, and the more we churn, the more nectar we get. And all the episodes of Srimad Bhagavatam are meant for our purification, meant for our transformation. So whenever we read episodes, we need to search for what is there for us to get transformed. So we discussed three sets of realizations today. The first set of realization is about three categories of people who are dealt by Brahma here. One category of people are the one who are lazy, who are proud, who are egoistic, who have familiarity, who have prejudiced nature. Because of them, they don't take this process as well as the association that they are provided seriously, and they suffer because of that. The second category of people are the ones who are extremely sentimental, and because of having a vested agenda, because of having some temporary results, they try to take part and associate and support some initiatives, and once their needs are fulfilled, they give up and they also suffer and they also are unfortunate. And the third category of people are the ones who have actually taken, you know, shelter of the right process, but sometimes because of extended association with worldly minded people or not being so serious in their own sadhana, prejudicedly a preconceived notion, they conclude that Krishna consciousness is not working on me, Krishna consciousness is not the right process for me, and they try to give up or take some alternative methodology to deliver themselves. For all these three categories of people, the solution is that we need to take shelter of a balanced, biased, self-realized soul. So we have, as a leaders, whoever we are, we need to take responsibility of our actions. We should be ready to ask for forgiveness. We should be definitely encourage others to be ready to ask for forgiveness and somehow or other deliver help our fellow members to come out of the mess. So as fellow members, as the community members, if we see ourselves in any of this category, or if we see ourselves struggling with all these three, we need to take shelter of people, Brahma, shelter of our leaders, spiritual master, or representatives of the spiritual master, who will help us to come out of this. And the solution was very simple. They went and asked for forgiveness to Srila Prabhupada, to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva forgave them. So the second realization is about how, you know, our lokoyam karma bandhana. So we discussed about Krishna conscious way of life, about the importance of chanting the holy name of the Lord and how chanting is our solace. So with this, I end this discussion here. I'm sorry, I'm overshot by 6 minutes. Interruptions or comments, I'm ready to respond. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanaswanam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It's a very, very nice class, actually. So many points you share with us. I don't have any questions. If any other devotee have, they can go ahead. So thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam to your association. Hare Bol, Hare Krishna. Especially you give an example, Kobler and the Brahman, so that whatever we do, sevas like preaching or cooking or garland seva or any seva, book distribution, we have to do with a bhav. So that is touch to heart that We have to do a puja, and whatever seva is given by Radharani or Srila Prabhupada Sugurudev, we should do with our bhav. That is very important. That Shaligram's Bhagwan is so happy to sing bhajana by that Kovlar. And so many things, one by one realizations every time is touched to our heart. Dandavat Pranam to your Seva, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai ho.
Thank you, ma'am. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanavad Pranam. This is Damodar Nanda Das from Bloomington. Prabhuji, I have two simple questions for you.
Hare
Do
Krishna,
you
Prabhu.
Remember the name of this cobbler in this wonderful
yes,
story you told us? What was his name?
I heard a similar story
about Sant Ravi Das. He was also a cobbler by profession. So that's the reason I was asking.
Okay. No, Prabhu, I do not know the story. The name of the cobbler.
Okay. And second question, Prabhu, are you doctor by profession?
No, Prabhu. I am a Shudra by profession, so I am an engineer.
Okay. We all are Shudras in Kali Yuga. So thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much.
I mean, just curious to know that, any specific reason why you asked if I'm a doctor. For some reason, you figured out, mistakes in my, presentation. Because
no, there are no mistakes, probably because of your knowledge. I thought maybe you have some training in medical field. So, no mistakes, probably.
Oh, my God.
Very nice lecture. Very...
You give an example. No,
I will tell you one.
One is
I'll tell you one story, Prabhuji. I'll just tell you one story. It's a story that happened. Indradumna Maharaj once took a group of devotees to Barsana. Okay? This is there in one of his traveling preacher's diary, long time back I read it. So when he took the devotees, around 50-60 devotees, he took to Barsana. And when they went for the yatra, they actually took with them a Babaji from local Brajdham. So this Baba also came along with the yatra and narrated so many stories and pastimes in the entire yatra. And after the whole day of yatra, when they were parting away, so all the devotees, they were very, very thankful to this Brajvasi. Thank you so much. You narrated so wonderful pastimes. Where did you read this? All these wonderful pastimes? How do you know all these wonderful pastimes? So he had a bag and he pulled out Krishna book from that bag and said, I have read this book 22 times and all that I share today is all from this book only. So hence, whatever glories that you may think of my class is purely attributed towards Srila Prabhupada. Because they are all, he is the one who is the recipient of this, supposed to be. All good, Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat, Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhuji, very much for this wonderful class and lecture. And from the 3 points, your 3 realizations, I have one question, Prabhu, can I ask?
Sure.
Prabhu, the last The third realization that you have said, take advantage of this process of the Krishna consciousness. And I'm a little confused because in the last few lines of the purport, Srila Prabhupada has also given us very direct direction as to in this Kali Yuga that we have to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra rather than, you know, taking and in order to please the other demigods. But in you also pointed out the first and in the second one for leaders and how to mediate and counsel and also how to be a part of society from the three modes, which I'm understanding is the tamasic, rajasic and the sattvic. So not, you know, how we have to conduct ourselves in present day situations. So my question is, for you have... now I have understood actually that no one is qualified to perform yajna or the Vedic rituals. But sometimes from, you know, especially in the, let me give you a direct scenario, in the Hindu temples that we are invited or we have to partake in those Vedic rituals. So then how, because they do understand that this is a part of life, this is what it is, and Lord Shiva is, this is the only way to please him, and this has to be done rather than the Maha Mantra. Then how do we understand and take part in that? And the other question is, if we do take part in that, is it detrimental to our sadhana? So sometimes I'm very confused, and you know, I feel guilty not being a part of it.
Okay, I'll tell you two responses to this. Number one is that happened in Hyderabad when Srila Prabhupada was installing Radha Madan Mohan Devi's in the Hyderabad temple. So when Srila Prabhupada's, this is a very huge event that happened in India, Hyderabad temple Devi installation. He had called some Sri Vaishnavas from Tirupati to perform the deity installation ceremony. This is way early, you know, 70s or sometime. So when the deity installation ceremony, so Sri Vaishnava Pandits came, they performed 3-4 days of all the yajna, fire sacrifice and everything. So Prabhupada participated in all the events. On the last day, so after the fire sacrifice, everything got over, there was a first class kirtan. So the kirtan was so, you know, intense that everybody assembled started dancing. So even those Sri Vaishnavas who came to the fire sacrifice, they also started dancing. So Srila Prabhupada looked at all the Sri Vaishnavas who actually performed the fire sacrifice, also dancing in the kirtan. So Srila Prabhupada told his disciples and said, this is the essence of Krishna consciousness. So this is the first point. I'll share the thoughts behind it. The second point I want to say is from the preface of Nectar of Inspection. This is what Srila Prabhupada says. One's first duty is to control his mind and senses. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. Everyone within this material world is engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. One must promote insult to the platform of goodness, Sattva Guna, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, and then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. So these two points are something to share of how each and every one of us need to conduct ourselves in Krishna consciousness. So number one, we being a Sankirtan movement, if Sankirtan is not the goal, then make it as a goal. As a part of the process, people may fire sacrifice, there may be some yajnas that may be done by, you know, Brahmanas or some devotees even within the movement. They are not wrong. So they are part of our culture. And not given importance to Sankirtan, then there is a problem. So there are two things. One is fire sacrifices performed by bona fide Brahmanas. Second is fire sacrifices performed by so-called Brahmanas. So what is done by so-called Brahmanas can anyway be simply rejected because they are doing for money. But fire sacrifices performed for performed by bona fide bit of installation ceremonies and initiation ceremonies, they are part of. So as a part of the spiritual Vedic movement, those are all expected to be done, and they are specifically done by a qualified brahmanas who have got the necessary training and qualification. But even them, they understand the sankirtan is the ultimate. It is like you and me, when we are given brahmin initiation, we are chanting Gayatri, not for becoming a scholar or something. The Gayatri mantra that we chant is more important, because by chanting the Gayatri mantra, it is acting as a catalyst for us to chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. But if somebody says, I am chanting Gayatri mantra and Brahmin initiated, I don't need to chant Hare Krishna Maha mantra, then his Gayatri mantra chanting is simply waste. So the principle behind this, we need to remember that we need to chant Hare Krishna Maha mantra to change our attitude. In the preface, the very next sentence, Srila Prabhupada writes, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. A follower of the Krishna consciousness movement should become a perfect Goswami. So hence, all the activities, whether it is fire sacrifice, deity installation, food for life, congregation preaching, book distribution, life membership, or even outsiders doing any fire sacrifice, we should only classify in two things. Are they bona fide? And if they are bona fide, is the final goal is Sankirtan. If they are not bona fide, anyway we can reject them. If they are bona fide, but if Sankirtan is not made the goal, then we should definitely orient ourselves to make Sankirtan the goal. So temple is constructed, fire sacrifice is done, not for the sake of, temple, for the sake of spreading the Sankirtan movement. Food for life is done, not for the sake of distributing foods and being a charitable organization. It is ultimately Sankirtan. So the point that Srila Prabhupada has written in the last paragraph of this 53rd verse is that how to make Sankirtan as our goal. And if you do that, then all the other activities can get accommodated within that. Am I making sense?
Yes, Prabhuji. And actually, when you said this, some instances have come to mind where we have incorporated the yajnas and the Vedic rituals with the Sankirtan, and it has been, accepted very nicely with the congregation. But there are circumstances where we also find resistance. So we're working on that. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much for class.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, would you please repeat the description of the second category of unfortunate person, the second of the three?
Yeah, the second of the three is the one who are sentimental. The sentimental categories are the one who are, for example, people come to our Krishna consciousness process. Take up to the Krishna consciousness process for some sentimental agenda. Sentimental agenda meaning that I have some specific needs and I am coming to Krishna so that those needs are fulfilled. And when the needs are fulfilled, I am moving on and not giving importance to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we surrender to people only from the perspective of getting our needs fulfilled, not from the perspective of transforming our consciousness or our life. So when we have that frame of mind, there is a possibility that we may choose a non-bona fide person as a spiritual master and get trapped. So as I said, responsibility lies with us in choosing the right doctor. Responsibility lies with us in choosing the right medicine. Responsibility lies with us in choosing the right process. In spite of all these three being right, responsibility lies with us in we consuming and embracing that process. So the second category of the people are the one who are following the rules and regulations either for the sake of following Niyamagraha or They are very sentimental in making sure a lot of people who come to, you know, movement just because, you know, they want a guru. They come to movement because they want some of their problems to get solved. They come and take part in this. They may get some sukriti. They may get some benefits. They may sometimes may get transformed also. But the principle is, if somebody approaches like that, there is a possibility that they may get trapped. The situation here is, Dakshas Praja or Dakshas assembly men, even though they could sense that Daksha was talking nonsense, they still stayed with him. So because of that, they are also punished. And finally, you know, they need to go through the episode themselves to get purified. So we need to be careful in our own execution of Krishna consciousness. When I am attached to a devotee, for example, in Krishna consciousness movement, I am a leader and I have a group of people who are attached to me. They should be attached to my principles. The moment I deviate, or the moment I become a person who is philosophically going against Srila Prabhupada, if I am trying to talk something nonsense, if they still follow with me because they are attached to me, then their spiritual life is in trouble. There are a lot of such episodes in this movement, you know, I can narrate on a private forum, where we have been attached to a person rather than to a process. So when the person gave up Krishna consciousness, everybody attached to them also gave up Krishna consciousness. Our practicing Krishna consciousness is not because of an individual. Our practicing Krishna consciousness is because of our, you know, attachment to the process. The moment the person with whom we are attached, he is deviating, we should move on to attach ourselves to somebody else. Otherwise, our spiritual life will be in trouble. Am I making sense?
Oh, perfectly. What you just said inspired another question or two, actually. It was a beautiful point that we should be attached to the principles being advocated, not to the personality. But I wonder how you would respond to this question. This Krishna consciousness process is so personal, and so I'm wondering what place our attraction to the personality of the spiritual master should have in our Krishna consciousness. I do agree, like what you just said, that, you know, the real thing is the precepts that the spiritual master is teaching, you know, and that they should be in line with Shastra and the parampara. But at the same time, you know, there are so many spiritual masters who are bona fide. And so I feel like our attraction to the personality must play some role. Otherwise, you know, why not just surrender to any guru, you know? So what do you say is the role that our attraction to the personality should play, if any?
Our vigilance in our Krishna consciousness will play a role. How much vigilant, how much sincere, how much serious we are in Krishna consciousness will decide about our attachment to the principles and the person. For example, we have Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru and Chaitya Guru. What is the Chaitya Guru all about? Paramatma is actually helping us in every relationship. So why Paramatma helps? Because Paramatma watches each of every of your desires and gives you direction. If you are very vigilant in your choice, then you will definitely make sure that every point in time you are not exploited. If a father is exploiting a child, his own child, you may not know at the first instance. You may not know at the second instance. But you cannot say that you never knew he is exploiting. At some point in time, Paramatma do help, and hence The responsibility lies with the individual sadhaka about how vigilant he or she is about his own personal Krishna consciousness. Krishna will not take responsibility of this decision. Krishna will only help you take the decision. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna could have taken a decision for Arjuna, but he did not. Krishna only asked Arjuna, I have enough data that I have given you. If you need more information, I am ready to help you, but you please decide. So hence, the deciding factor is our vigilance, and our vigilance in support with Siksha, Diksha and Chaitya Guru. So, and that's the reason this triangle of Guru, Sadhu, Shastra is never individually existing. Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, they all need to agree on a particular thing for an action to happen. I agree on a real-time use case where we may have a very difficult situation to even make a choice of which is correct or which is deviant. But as I said, if you are very vigilant, Paramatma reveals, Paramatma helps. It is absolutely impossible for somebody who is vigilant in their own Krishna consciousness to be misdirected, because it is against Krishna.
Actually, Prabhu, what I really mean is, I'm not really talking about choosing somebody who is bona fide versus somebody who is deviant. I mean, among the all the gurus who are bona fide, right? You know, since this is such a personal process, how important would you say it is that I choose somebody who is, or any devotee choose somebody whose personality they really, you know, are attracted to?
Okay, I got it. I'll put the question in a slightly different way. You're talking about bona fide guru. I'll talk about how many bona fide services you can do. There are many, many bona fide services. Is Food for Life good? Is congregation preaching good? Is life membership program good? Is deity worship good? Everything is good. Everything is glorious. So the point is, in fact, there is a very important principle of our commitment and loyalty to our bona fide process. So it is extremely important, if you have surrendered to a bona fide spiritual master, if you have surrendered to a process of leadership, then you need to abide by them and be loyal to the system. Otherwise, getting instruction from multiple bona fide people will actually put you in a trouble, because getting instruction from multiple bona fide source for your personal life will actually confuse you and take you in a different direction. So we are expected to surrender to, definitely we can respect and also associate with everybody, but personal advices and personal services, we should align with one person, otherwise we will get multiple correct things. Multiple right things in our own life, we won't be able to handle. So hence, we need them to be directed by a single bona fide source. And if it is bona fide, whichever single bona fide source you are able to have a heart-to-heart relationship, that is fine. So long as they are bona fide, that's absolutely fine. But there is a rider principle on top of it. The riding principle is, Srila Prabhupada always encouraged, if you are living in a community, it is extremely important that we need to work with the community rather than against the community. The reason is that our movement is a preaching movement. Apart from the philosophical aspect of it, we also need to take care of the expansion of the movement, and hence, to bring in a harmony, we need to always find out what is locally present for my service to make it relevant, relatable, as well as, you know, inspiring to all the others. So with these two principles, we should take a decision.
These two principles, the two principles are?
Number one, not necessarily to receive multiple right instruction. If you receive right instruction, should come from one bona fide source, that is good enough. Because every right seva, you can't do it. You can't handle it. So you need to get right seva that is relevant, relatable to yourself. The second principle is, what is within my community? Because you are in a community, you are supposed to serve that community as much as possible. Nobody is stopping you to serve other services, But that cannot be against, that cannot be stopping, that cannot be challenging the services that your, you know, community is doing. So you cannot be a bad example to your own community members. So we need to make sure that when we are in a group of devotees, community, we need to serve them. Again, there are case-to-case situations where we may need to, you know, handle them on a case-to-case basis. But then as a principal, we still
have
a principal. Good
morning.
And we should choose just one bona fide person. But what I was asking was that in choosing that one bona fide person, you know, so that you're not confused by consulting with so many different bona fide persons, you should choose one. But in choosing that one person,
hello,
should our attraction to their personality be a deciding factor?
Well,
some interference. Okay, go ahead.
The attraction to the personality, my understanding of choosing the person is about how much the other person is able to understand us and how much I am able to surrender to him. These are the two principles I will decide on. If the other person is able to understand me and I am able to, you know, surrender to him, that's good enough, whoever that may be. So if the other person can't understand you, suppose somebody is Mexican and I am a South Indian and we can't correlate each other, he can't understand my cultural values, my background, my understanding, I can't relate to them. And if we are not able to communicate, if we can't express ourselves, even though he can't personally help me. Of course, I can stay in his association, sing, song, dance, but having a discussion and dialogue, I definitely need another person. And second is, how much you are able to surrender to that person. And your surrender should be natural. You should have some respect. You should obey, because disobeying them will be against your spiritual life. So you should have a natural respect for that person also, where you can actually bow down. Sometimes you may not like person who is younger than your age. How much ever, because we have our own anarthas. With our own anarthas, we need to handle them. Suppose I'm having a, you know, lusty desire. And what if I go to a female doctor? And rather than getting cured, I may get more and more in trouble with her. So we should make sure that whom I surrender, I should be able to respect and obey their words and follow their advices. Otherwise, it can act against you. Making sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Thank you very much. One last thing is about, you said that those demigods who were following Daksha, they were an example of being sentimental.
I said demigods as the third category where, well, not everybody fell. So there are two sets of people I spoke about. One is, first category was Daksha himself. Second category were Daksha's followers. And third category were those one who were actually performing the fire sacrifice. The brahmanas who are sitting there and demigods were participating. Because when you know that something is wrong, you should leave that place. When you know something is not happening correct, you should leave the place. Not be so much overconfident that anyway I am doing correctly. So the third category of people are the one who, even though they must have chosen the right process, even though they may be following the process, just because of their association with, extended association with worldly minded people, they may misunderstand my bhakti is happening or bhakti is not happening. So hence, they need to be having vigilance in their practices.
Yeah, but when you were describing the second category of people, you mentioned those, I think it was the followers of Daksha, right, who were also, and that's what I mean. So how were the followers of Daksha being sentimental in that second category?
Either they were sentimental or they had vested interests. Okay, they may not be sentimental. They may be attached to Daksha because he is my, you know, master. He is the one who is giving me salary. So my boss is asking me to kill somebody because he's giving me a salary. I'll go and kill. So that's not accepted. Because you are getting a salary doesn't mean that you can do anything that your master asks. So they all are supporting Daksha.
Oh my God.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Can you be a little louder? We barely can hear you. And I request everyone, please keep your phones on mute when you are not talking.
Then mute your phone, okay?
Okay, so I was trying to say that the Daksha's followers were sentimental because they were sitting in the assembly when Daksha was giving allegation to Lord Shiva. They were hearing them and they were participating and they were partying to them because they did not realize that they are partying to a person who is offending a Vaishnava. That is because of their choice of being with them, because he's the one who is paying a salary.
Mm-hmm.
So sentimental or a person with vested agenda. Why I am in ISKCON? Because I'll get introduced to a lot of bureaucrats. Why I'm in ISKCON? I'll become very popular. Why I'm in ISKCON? Yeah, I'll have a lot of followers. Why I'm in ISKCON? I'll get a lot of customers. So you may have different agenda why you are. Of course, they may, people who with, it is also said in Bhagavatam, Akama Sarvakama Moksha Kamava Udharati Divrena Bhakti Yogena Echeta Purusham Param. Whether you have lucky desire, full desire, no desire, anybody in this process will get purified. But we are talking about a process where when we need to transform our lives, we need to be vigilant about such a mindset. We need to identify within ourselves, am I having vested interest? Am I having pride? Am I prejudiced? Am I familiar? So we need to keep on identifying one anartha and uproot them. Otherwise, our process will delay, will be delayed, and our we'll be, still wondering why it's not happening, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Okay, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank
Hare
you.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanat Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Prabhuji, it's already late. I have one question if you are.
I have no problems. In fact, I'm wondering that if I'm holding others back, so I'm okay. You can go ahead.
Okay, Prabhu. Prabhuji, you were talking about the karma kanda and then the way of life. If we don't if we just make Krishna consciousness part of our life and if we don't practice the way of life, so it's just like karma kanda. Can you explain more how, I'm always thinking, means how it's like we are really practicing bhakti yoga, otherwise like everything, whatever we are doing, it's become like a kind of suitable, like kind of things. Can you explain more in that?
Can you repeat your question, Maharaj? Probably I'm not getting your question correctly.
Okay, Prabhu. When we practice in Bhakti Yoga, means it's not becoming our Bhakti Yoga. It's not becoming Karmakanda. Means ritualistic. Prabhu, can you explain more in that part? Because if you make the part of this part of this Krishna consciousness, it become Karmakanda. You were telling in the class.
Well, what I was telling is that I was not saying if Krishna consciousness will become Karmakanda. Karmakanda is a completely different. What Karma Bandhana is what I said. What is Karma Bandhana? If you do any activity in Krishna consciousness and that activity is meant not to please Krishna and for your personal agenda, that activity will bind us. And I gave an example of how the Brahmanas in Vrindavan, when Krishna went, sent all his cowherd boys to beg alms for food. The Brahmanas in Vrindavan, they thought they are performing fire sacrifice and they are very knowledgeable and they are in a very serious business of purifying and glorifying the Lord. And they considered this cowherd boys as some bunch of idiots and as a disturbance. And because their pride blinded them and they did not give importance to these boys. Rather, the cowherd girls or their wives, because they were very well knowledgeable or they were very kind-hearted, they had very simplicity in their heart, they were humble, they could understand these boys as Krishna's representatives and Krishna, they had love for Krishna. They didn't have any philosophical understanding Krishna is supreme or not. Their love for Krishna made them much more qualified to receive Krishna's blessings. So my point was, when we are doing devotional service, if pride or ego or envy or any of the vices gets added, that, you know, as I said in the last class also, that if somebody prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmanu sarvasaha ahankara vimudatma karta aham iti manyate, if somebody thinks I am the doer, or if the activity is done thinking that I'll be the beneficiary, then karma bandhana. These are the two things. So to summarize, only 3 points you need to remember. If the, while you are doing the service, if you think you are the doer, then you are in trouble. If you are, while doing the service, if you think I am going to be the beneficiary, you are in trouble. If while doing the service, you think Krishna is pleased and Krishna should be the center, then that's Krishna consciousness. These are the only 3 points around that particular realization.
Yes, yes, Prabhu. And sometimes how we understand, Prabhu, how Krishna is, every daily activity we do, chanting, and then after,
if Krishna is pleased, three things will happen to you. I told you in the one of the last classes, Krishna pleased means you will get more service. Krishna pleased means you Vaishnavas visit your house. Krishna is pleased means you will develop taste in chanting. Krishna is pleased means your envy will come down. Krishna is pleased means your sense gratificatory propensity will come down. So you, these are all easy checkpoints. If you are getting more and more service opportunity, if you are called for more and more services, then Krishna is pleased with your chanting. Because in your chanting, you are praying to Krishna, asking him to engage in your service. So when you get more service opportunity, then Krishna is pleased. And when Vaishnavas are visiting your house, when Vaishnavas are coming and helping you out, then more and more Vaishnava associations that you are getting, then Krishna is pleased. And apart from this, if you are increasing taste in chanting, then Krishna is pleased. And if your envy in the heart is getting away, then Krishna is pleased. And when your sense gratificatory propensity is reduced, then Krishna is pleased. Is it okay?
Yes, Prabhu, yes. It's a very, very...
These are all easy tests. You can keep constantly tested. Suppose you did not get any service for 1 week, please go and pray to Krishna and beg forgiveness that, you know, Krishna will give you service. These are also easy tests to your own self. If, you know, Vaishnava association is not there, then you need to long for it. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Okay, I think I overshot a long time. So, if there are no other questions, then we can end the class. I have time, but then there may be other devotees who have other responsibilities. Okay,
yes,
Grantha,
thank you, sir.
Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai. Thank you,
sir.
Prabhuji, let's. Yeah, Ravi Chan, she's great. Yeah, Ram Giri Tari Prabhu, and all the devotees. Santa Kalpa Kalpa, Kirpa, Sindhu,